the promised land that God had told him of. He got all the way up to the point where it was time for his foot to step from the land that he had experienced nothing but bondage and suffering and sorrow and discouragement and depression, and the point where he was going to get to step into that promised land. And God told him, you can't go because you were disobedient. It wasn't because of the disobedience of the children of Israel. The devil, I'm going somewhere with this. Amen. I'll get to preaching here in just a second. The devil, he wants to trick us into saying, you get to do it the same way you've always done it. You get to praise the Lord the same way you've always done it and experience the same blessing of God. I'm here to tell you tonight, God wants to move us. If we stay in the same place forever, spiritually or physically, Brother Matthew, if all we ever ate was broccoli, just broccoli, we never had any meat and taters, we wouldn't grow very much. Constantly be hungry is what would happen. If we had nothing, Brother Larry, but just a small cracker, wafer, with a little bit of honey on it, that's all we got to eat. And the labors that we have to do in our daily tasks and our job, all we got was just that small cracker, a little bit of honey, to carry you through. We know through life that we go through stages. When you're a child, you have to have liquid form of nourishment. Then as you get a little bit older, you have to eat something a little more solid. And if we get choked one time on something a little more solid and said, oh, I'm giving it all up, I'm just going to stay with the liquid form because it's easier, things are smoother, I don't get choked on it, do we grow? Devil likes to give us things to trade out for what's helping us grow. Amen. I want to encourage us here tonight with the Lord's help. Sister Lindsay could have kept right on singing. Amen. You wouldn't have had to have heard me. Amen. I appreciate God's faithfulness tonight. Amen. Turn to Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 24. And Sister Lindsay, I'll probably be reading some scriptures that you will not have there. Amen. So don't get staring at me too much if you come across something you're like, that's not there, or you're not using that one. Amen. I don't have time, as Pastor does, to hand me the notes and then spend an extra few minutes looking at it and then come back with the revised before things get going. It don't work that way. Amen. Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 24. I just want to read this one verse. And it says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Sister Lindsay, if you'd leave that verse up there for just a little while, I'd appreciate that. The very beginning portion of this scripture says, no man can serve two masters. Look over at your neighbor. Titus, I guess, mean you'll be neighbors. Say, neighbor, who you serving? Look at your other neighbor. All right, Michael. Neighbor, who you serving? Amen. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. God, I pray that you'd help us, Lord. I pray that you'd anoint my mind. God, I pray that you'd loose my tongue. God, I pray you'd help me, God, to speak every word and thought you've entered into my heart. I pray, God, that your will would be accomplished here in this service tonight. God, I pray that your anointing would come down. God, I pray that it would saturate these altars. God, that when hearts and lives come, God, and we lay our sacrifice there on, God, that our hearts and lives would be changed. God, I pray that you would help us to grow. Help us to be more, God, than we are, Lord, when we came in. God, help us to be more like you every day. Help us to not fall for the wiles of the enemy. But God, help us to be wise, God. Help us to be, Lord, constantly looking for that opportunity, God, that we have to grow and to be more like you and to be a witness. In your name we pray. And the church says, amen. All right, I got to get something out here. Amen. Everybody look up here. What is this, Titus? $100 bill. Hey, London. Sissy, what is this? It's a ticket? Well, close. Come up here. Hurry. What is that? What is it? Is it money? Okay, here, you have it. Here, let Nana see it. Ask her, Nana, if it's real. Is that real? All right. Now give it back to her. Hold on to that for me, London. I'm going to need it later, okay? All right. Now, let's see. I've got some more money up here. Titus, how would you like a $100 bill? How about $200? Go ahead. Come up here. Hurry. Anybody else? Michael, you want a couple $100? Anybody else? Get in line. I'll give out what I got. All right. Take that to your seat. Don't show it around. Don't let anybody see how much you got. Don't look at it. Come here, Michael. All right. Here, don't let anybody see it. Go back to your seat. Anybody else? I got some more up here. All right, Brother Matthew. Take that. Go back to your seat. Don't show it to anybody. Come here. Come here, Weston. Take that back to your seat. Don't show it to anybody. I got some more up here. Any other takers? Here we come. Come on. Come on up here. All right. Take it back to your seat. Don't show it to anyone. I still got some more. I've got the real deal. You seen it. I gave it to London there. Anybody else? No? I still got some more. Is that it? I guess I get to keep the rest of this. All right. All right. I'm doing pretty good, Brother Jason. They didn't take all I had. Hey, Weston's coming back for more. Oh, no, he came back for a string. I thought I had another taker. He's going to double dip. Jamie, you couldn't use any money? No? A couple $100 wouldn't do you any good? All right. All right, what I've passed out. Everybody hold up your money that's been given to you. All right. Anybody see any counterfeit around? How about some original? I couldn't get it to print regular size, so that's what we had to deal with, guys. Here, let me see that, London. Thank you. Kind of a difference in the material that's made of, isn't it, Brother Matthew? Just feel that. Just rub that. Feel that. It's kind of different, isn't it? You got gypped. Michael, does that feel real? What about that one there? Titus, you can tell the difference between real money, can't you? That's all you get. You just get to touch it. You're going to get to hold it. He'd keep it. I want to preach for just a minute, or a few minutes, on being counterfeit or original. Counterfeit or original. The real deal. Or fake. There's a whole host of words to use for this. We're just going to stick with counterfeit or original. Four years ago, somewhere in between there, I was here at the pawn shop, and a police officer came by carrying a piece of paper that they had found somebody that was passing off fake $20 bills, counterfeit $20 bills here in Chelsea. Brought by and said, be watching for these. And he said, make sure that you have, they have this little bitty pin that you can mark on cash, and it's not using them, it looks like a permanent marker almost, but whenever you write it on, mark it across the money, it turns like a light yellow, and then it usually just dissolves, disappears. But if it is fake, if it's counterfeit, and you run that mark across there, it's a black mark. So he said, make sure, and if you come across any of these, be sure and collect them. And try to get the person that's got it to stay so we can find out where they got it from. They were trying to track down the group that was passing them out, because they were going to Harps. They went to some place in Claremore, just different places, and they were changing 20s for 5s and 10s. But it was counterfeit. It was worthless. So what begins to happen, I'm going somewhere with this. Just hang on. Buckle up your seatbelt. Amen. That way you don't get a ticket. But what we find is when we have a real experience like we did this morning, like we was even having here in this service tonight, we get to a certain point and we decide to turn in. Got change for that, Michael? No. I thought I just gave you a bunch of money. We say, I've went far enough in worship, went far enough in praise, I can trade this $100 for $200 from this guy. Because I've went as far as I really feel like I need to go. Because we think, well, we've reached good enough, and if I can go ahead and trade this in and keep my experience and keep the memories of what I just had, it's good enough. Trade you back there, buddy. I'm going to need this again here in a little bit. What happens is we allow a bill of goods to be sold to us that is worthless. And it was in preparing this message and asking the Lord to let me preach something else, He wouldn't let me get away from it. Because I've been duped before. See, the devil, he's a sly old fox. Because if I could catch him, Brother Larry, I'd stick him in a box. I'd lock the box and throw away the key for all the mean
tricks
he's played on me. The rest of that song says, I'm glad that I'm a Christian. Because I'm a Christian, I know the difference for when the devil comes to try and do me. Because I'm a Christian. But there are times when we are Christians. I know I'm going slow. It's not like me to go slow this part of the service. I'm usually going 100 miles an hour. You've got to know the restraint that is in me right now. But because so many times we get to a point, we've put forth all the energy that we feel that we can put out there in the service. And we know that we're supposed to give all, and all hasn't been given. But I'm satisfied for what I've already received. So what happens is we find that the devil comes by and says, here, buddy, I'll trade you your experience for a memory. So that you can go home and say, man, I got it. You've got something, all right. You've got a memory, but you no longer have the experience. David, whenever he slew Goliath, he struck him with a stone, went up and used that sword. Brother Larry, he could have left that sword and that head on the field. It had been perfectly acceptable. No reason for that. What will we find? David carries those two things back up to the top of the hill. He gives the head there to King, hands the Saul over, or the sword, excuse me, the sword over, and we find that a few years later, this young man is being hunted by a king that he had just won great and many battles for. We find that he had to go back because he did not trade in that sword. He could have left it on the field, but instead it went to a sacred place, where it was an example to all of those that entered therein of what God's faithfulness was. Brother Jason, it came to a point in a time where everything else he had was lost. But he knew he had something that wasn't counterfeit that was still out there, church. He knew that he had something out there that was still real. He knew that he had an experience that he could reach back and he could begin to grab a hold of because he knew what God had done for him. He didn't trade in, amen, his experience, amen, just for another good time. He didn't trade in his experience for just a memory, but instead he began to put it in a place where he knew it would be safe. Not only where it was safe, but it was in a place that he could go and grab a hold of the weapon of God yet once again to bring forth victory. He didn't trade it in for something counterfeit. We find that David went in, he grabbed the sword and grabbed a sack lunch, and out he went. That man that was there that handed that stuff all over to him, his life was required of him because of what he did. But that man was not counterfeit. He could have very easily said, well, David came in and had me at sword point. We use gun point for everything. Back then they didn't have guns, Brother Matthew. Or bow point. He didn't spin a tail. We find that his life was required of him because he was not counterfeit. Because whenever we become counterfeit in our spiritual life, we begin to sell who we are a piece at a time. Amen. I'm going to get back up here. I'm going to read another scripture. Amen. 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy, chapter number 3, verse number 1 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves." Man. I really need to go ahead and go on home. I don't have time to stay and pray tonight. Man, Brother Matthew, I can't make it for 5:30 prayer meeting. Just can't do it. I really got to have my nap. How many likes a nap? And all the church said amen. Naps are nice. Especially after what we did yesterday, Brother Rick, right? A nap just wasn't enough. And Brother Rick didn't get one today. He had to go and do veterans service. How many of us were over there helping him today? Man, it's getting tight up here. It says they'll be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Children, listen up. Are you being disobedient to your mom and dad? You still live under your mom and dad's roof. Say, no, I live on their property. Still the same thing. Jamie, I know you spend a lot of time over at John and Bethany's. You know, when you're there, they're your authority. It's hard to accept. Brother Rick, I know when you're home, you want to try and be the boss. We know them birds in that cage is going to tell on you whenever you're in there sneaking a snack. Without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. You ever wonder why people's telling lies on you? Because they're despising you because you might be good. Traitors, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I want us to realize something in verse number 4. It says, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Sometimes we'd rather go sit through a 3.5-hour movie at the movie theater than sit through an hour and a half church service. What has happened, church? We have sold ourselves out for the something that we had that was original, the original entertainment of the world. Come on, help me for a minute. The original entertainment, when they would go out there and they'd start a fire out in the middle of a field and they would set up hay bales and they'd have a good old brush arbor service. People would dry, they'd leave the bars and they'd go out and they'd go set at the edge of the timber or the edge of the tree line or the road to see the entertainment for the night. And what ended begin to end up happening, Brother Jason, is those individuals that would sit at the roadside and begin to poke fun as they'd find that they'd set their booze bottles down and their cigarettes down, and they would begin to find themselves going up close to the edge of the excitement. The cigarettes wasn't enough. The alcohol wasn't enough. They had to get closer to the excitement. Because what they had was counterfeit. But what was going on there, where those saints of God would begin together, is that was the original intent, amen, of man's entertainment, was to worship and glorify and honor God Almighty. Because when we begin to lift Him up, church, something begins to come down inside of these old bodies that we've never had before. It begins to come from out of this world. We begin to find strength, amen, when we can't go on. We begin to find victory where we've had nothing but failure. We begin to find joy where there was nothing but sadness. We begin to find the original, amen, entertainer was God when we got with Him. Amen. We find that Adam, amen, he was always going in the cool of the evening, amen, being ministered by God. He wasn't down at the big picture show, but he was in the presence of God. So many times we try to find all forms of entertainment. We find those forms of entertainment begin to come not in the morning, but in the evening. We've replaced our evening prayers and our evening times of reading the Word of God with our family with sitting down behind a television, amen, or sitting there in front of the computer screen. Man, it's quiet in here. We no longer have a personal place of altar because we've sold it out for something counterfeit as a 2-minute prayer before we go to bed. And we wonder why we're not seeing people raised from the dead. It's because the devil, amen, has traded this church world of today something that is counterfeit. It's all about being prosperous. Me and Brother Jason was going by a church building that just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. We was talking and it's amazing what can happen to a church facility like that. All you say is come and give and God will bless. Don't worry about getting married. Don't worry about if you're having same sexual tendencies. Doesn't matter. Just come, give in the offering and you'll be blessed. Doesn't matter if you pay your bills or not. Come and give in the offering and God will bless you. I'm not saying don't pay your tithes if your tithes are due and your electric bills due at the same time. I've seen it happen time and time again when people put God first. That bill's always covered. Heard a story of a fellow that's electric bill was due. Larry, he called him. He had to make a choice. My tithes or my electric bill? My tithes or my electric bill? He said, well, I'm going to call the electric company. He called the company. Lady he talked to said, hey, no problem. I'll push your bill due till the middle of this next coming week. That'll give you time. He said, I've got a job coming up. I want to make sure and cover all my bases. But instead, not even bills. Let's just take bills and throw them off to the side. We say, well, it's between me and the steak dinner or giving the offering in the platter. We choose ourselves over God all the time, church. I'm not just picking on us. I'm saying the church is, as a whole. I'm trying to help us to be aware of what's coming. There's a counterfeit that is out there that wants to trade your real life experience for just an emotional high. Church services back in the day, people would stand, run, shout, and holler during song service until song service was over. The front of the facilities were always full. The walls were lined because people were excited to be in the presence of God. They didn't want to just stay seated. They didn't want to just stay in place because there was something inside of them that was original. It was something that had to be let out. When we go to a baseball game, if you play the $25 or $35 to get in there, and that's a cheap ticket, You're going to stand up there in the blood in the nosebleed section. You're going to holler out at your team, saying, "Come on, guys, come on, catch that ball right over there, get that." Don't look at me and say you wouldn't do that. Titus, I've been on the sideline when I seen you kicking a soccer ball. It's been a long time ago. I'd say, "Come on, bub." But when it comes to the presence of God, we say, "Well, we want the song leader to pump us up. We want the pastor to give us a good word of exhortation that excites me, that doesn't convict me." I tell you, when he preached on the duty of man, man, it's like I got beat over the head. And I had to say, "Amen, oh me, it's me. Preach a little longer." That's why I didn't want to preach this, Jason, because it's a beating on my head. What am I trading out, Sister Pepper? Am I allowing myself to be stuck behind them drums to where I don't get out and get moved in the Spirit of God? Sister Lindsay, don't let the microphone keep you from shouting, and she doesn't. She's not going to trade an emotional high from being able to hit those high notes. Brother Jason, from us hitting a lick on the bass or hitting a roll on the drums, don't trade them out for the presence of God. Everything that God has created, church, I want us to realize this. Satan has a counterfeit. For everything God has tried to do, the only thing the devil has not mastered is the counterfeitness of the Holy Ghost. It cannot be counterfeited. Listen to me. There's a lot of people that want to try and speak in tongues and things, but there's no Spirit of God there. That's why we have a discerning spirit. But a lot of times we leave that home on the couch because we don't think we need it. The reason we start leaving things at home that's meant to be brought to church is because we've been traded out for something that's counterfeit. How many likes being around somebody that's fake? No? Anybody? Am I the only one? Ever been around somebody fake? Just eat it up. Man, I'm an electrical engineer, Brother Larry. Do you know that? Electrical engineer. See, I help design this substation over here. You just didn't know that, did you? You know them volts and watts that come in there? I figured all those out. Do you believe me? No. I come back here and start trying to talk to Brother Larry about all these different kinds of diseases that have been out there that he knows about. And I say, "You know, that one disease, I found a cure for that." It's like, first of all, you're not saying the disease right. And second of all, they haven't found a cure for it. I can go back here to Brother Rick and say, "Man, I know how to weld. You see that one head I welded on down there? You see how I welded that?" And that was just, I didn't even have to use a tungsten rod, and it was supposed to be used. You're supposed to use a tungsten rod. I told him I did all that, just a standard. He kind of looked at me cross-eyed. Uh-huh. Wouldn't talk to me about that anymore. I could go to Sister Pepper. I know I'm taking a little bit of time here, but I want you guys to realize how gullible we are. We just trade in and say, "Man, that was an experience. That was awesome. I'll keep that memory. I'll move on over here back to where I always was." Because we've been told and sold that I'm okay. But Larry, I'm not okay. I'll be honest with you. I am not okay. Brother Jason, I'm not okay. I need prayer. If you see me walk down here at the front, lay hands on me. Help me pray through. Don't just say, "Well, they're just backslidden or a sinner." No, we've got to begin to pull for each other. Because when we grab a hold of it, we're not allowing a counterfeit, amen, to sit on the pew. But we're seeing an original work of what God can do. And what He's done, He'll continue to do. He wants us to be greater. He wants us to be wiser. He wants us to be more set on fire. Amen. I don't know if I'll make it past this next verse. I'll do my best. Matthew chapter 22. Verse number 11. And when the king came, in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Everybody know what a garment is? I sure hope so, because if you're not wearing one, you're in trouble. The outer cloak. Verse number 12, and he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. In verse number 12, I want us to realize what he stated there. He said to him, Friend. Which means he knew who he was. He had had a relationship with this king. He said unto him, Friend, why is it that you've came knowing that I sent out the garments? They were given to you and you wasted it. You didn't bring it. You left it behind. Because he felt what he was wearing was original enough. It had enough cloak. It had enough power to present himself. We sat on our pews in our self-righteous attitude. I prayed last week, I'll just stand, raise my hand, not push in any farther because I don't feel like I've been attacked this week. What has happened is I've been sold a bill of goods that was counterfeit. Sister Sarah, I sent Titus into that house yesterday afternoon after a cup of blueberries. I went through that cup of blueberries and there was 5, 6, 7 of them that were plum mashed and spoiled. That was because Titus fixed it. He didn't know. But I had asked earlier, I'd asked Sister Sarah to bring me some blueberries. They were all perfect. Because she was careful picking them out. Titus, he done exactly what I told him. I said, just bring me a cup of blueberries. And then when I got done with them, I was like, oh, that one was kind of too soft. He was no longer a blueberry, Sister Shelton. It was a mashberry. That was old. It was a counterfeit. It was a imitation, representation of what was supposed to be there. How many of y'all like crab meat? How many of y'all like fake crab meat? I mean, it's close. It's cheap. But cut you some of that real crab meat out and get some of that fake and melt you down some butter. Am I talking your language yet, Mimi? You take that hot butter and you dip that fake one down in there and give it a taste. It's like, you know, it's okay. But then you put that real stuff in there. That fake stuff doesn't hold the butter. Just drips back off and you're like, there's no butter taste. You put the real thing in there. I don't know about you, but I'm getting hungry for some more of God. And you know what you guys are thinking? Well, I don't know where you guys were going there. Come on, church. And you eat that real and it holds the butter. It has a flavor that cannot be beat. And you throw that bag of imitation in the trash. And you get out all the original that's there. Am I touching your heart yet, church, about some things that we might have traded off? There's some places that I've read in the scripture, Brother Jason, of some kings that gave up the treasures of their kingdom to somebody else. But what I find, this is so amazing, is what I find, the next generation was that came up behind them was someone that revered God and served the Lord and cut down all the hedges of all the false gods. And they went to the kingdom that stole the goods. And you know what they did? They took went in there and took them back and brought it back to the house of God. And what we begin to find is God would bless them because they went and took what the devil stole from them. I'm here to tell you tonight, church, amen, if we'll go back, take our counterfeit bill, throw it back on the cabinet there at the teller and say, you gave me something that was fake. I want back what was mine because God gave it to me. If you'd begin to get down on our hands and knees, yeah, once again, and say, God, I want to go back. Amen. I want to go back to that place where I had an experience that was real, that was fire-filled. Whenever the songs came forth, I couldn't do nothing but raise my hands and cry and worship Him. When the enemy comes up against us and we got nothing but counterfeit in our hand, you can't stand up and tell him, not today, Satan. Because you have chosen a master. Because you can't be the head. You are now the tail that follows in the way that he wants you to go. Why do we have such troubles in our churches of America today with foul spirits, bad attitudes, and a church full of people? Only one or two are dedicated, and the rest of them just get a touch of the splash of the overflow of what God is doing. I want us to look at this here for just a minute. The service we experienced this morning, amen, I want you to ask yourself this question. Be honest with yourself. How many of you were praying for the service this morning? Because the reason that happened is because there was somebody that was praying. The reason, Sister Sarah, that you were able to stand up there and it blessed me. That was original, Brother Jason. There wasn't somebody behind her in her ear telling her what to do. It was something that was coming down from inside. That was the Spirit of God, Sister Janet. It was original. We can't stand with hands lifted high and begin to worship and glorify God so many times because it's not in us. I had to ask myself, Brother Jason, why wasn't it me? Not that I was jealous, but because it had to go to that point in the service. Have I simply sold myself out for something that is counterfeit? Because we'll stand and we'll sing, it's real, it's real, I know it's real. But how many of us, Titus, are we acting on the Spirit of God that we know is real? Or have we just sold it out for something that's counterfeit? Because in the end, this man, when he asked, where's your wedding garment? He was speechless because he didn't have an excuse. When the Church of America looks at this little church right here in Chelsea, Oklahoma, and say, where's your power at? We would remain silent and speechless because we haven't put on our garment of praise. We would be silent and speechless because we now have something that's counterfeit. How's your prayer life? Ryan, how's your prayer life, buddy? Huh? Is it real? Or is it counterfeit? Michael, how's your Bible reading, buddy? Have you been reading the Gospels like we had talked about in Rangers? Is it getting real, Tony? You read through them Gospels? Is it real? Or is it counterfeit? We've got to be awake, church. Amen. We can look here in this verse in the beginning. Then he saith to his servants, you won't have this, Sister Lindsay. The wedding is ready, but they which are bidden were not worthy. Every service, first two people that's here, it's always pastor, pastor's wife. You can crack the door, come in here Sunday morning. It's a guarantee, Brother Matthew, that I'll pop around this corner and Sister Pepper will be there at the piano bench. She's praying. I can hear her praying a lot of times right when I come in the door. I can come in here, and if I see Brother Larry's SUV out there before I get here, I can walk in here. Brother Larry's either at his pew or he's up here at the altar. Because he's not counterfeit. He's being original. Amen. Whenever I come in, amen, in the house on Saturday evenings, amen, a lot of times I'll walk in and I'll find my wife in there going over songs, going over scriptures, making sure that she's prepared. Because it's not counterfeit. It's original. Amen. So many times if we're not careful, we'll let the devil sell us something and say this is just as good. Matthew chapter 7 and 21 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and have not cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew ye, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. We must be careful. Amen. I'm going to read through this verse really, really quick. We must be careful that we're not like the Pharisees. In Matthew chapter 23, it says, thou blind Pharisees, clean that which is first within the cup and the platter, and then the outside of them, so they may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you're likened unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so ye outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye all are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. We must be careful. We can make all this look pretty on the outside, but on the inside, whenever the presence of God is moving, that's when the true colors will be shown. Because whenever we come into the house of God, honestly, we should hang these coats of flesh in the hallway. And we should come in here, amen, whether we have the energy or not, exerting what we have in the Spirit. Because whenever we begin to exert what we have in the Spirit, it begins to renew this old shell, this clay pot begins to be filled with something that is life. Amen, that is life filled. It doesn't matter what's going on at home or across country. Brother Larry, if we come in, we hang this coat of flesh outside, we allow the Spirit of God to pour in to this old clay vessel, then when we go out and we pick up the phone, when things have gone bad, we can begin to say, in the name of Jesus. Amen. We can begin to say, devils, you have to flee in the name of Jesus. Why? Because it's inside of me. Amen. This vessel doesn't belong to me, but it belongs to God. We find that if we just try to act, not even super spiritual, just spiritual, we'll be no better than the seven sons of Sceva. We find in Acts, an evil spirit answered and said unto them, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are ye? Who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirits leaped upon them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Because if you come in with something counterfeit in the presence of God, and you try to wave it and say, this is mine, the devils of this world is going to come against you, and they will attack, and they are vicious dogs. You might not walk away feeling like you're wounded, but what happens is he begins to attack everyone around you and say, that's individual, that's a hypocrite. That individual doesn't have the goods. Which he's telling them the truth, but what begins to happen is because you play the part, but you aren't the part. You've just now wounded somebody that could have been in the kingdom of God. We find in James that there are those that will have burns on their hands from reaching in and pulling them from the flame. What is that? That's people, men and women of God, that's reaching in to the wounded and bringing them back to where life is, because someone that was hypocritical, that was a hypocrite, had wounded them. Be original tonight. Amen. I'm fixing to close with this. I've got quite a bit of scripture here I'm going to read. I don't think you're going to have it, Sister Lindsay, but in Philippians 3 and 7, you can follow along with me if you want. This is Paul speaking here. He said, "But what things were gained to me, those I count lost for Christ. Yet doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do not count them but dung, that I may win Christ, who is our ultimate goal." Christ should be. When we come into the house of God, we shouldn't worship because the worship leader asked us to. We should worship because we want to see Christ come down. Amen. It is our duty to be original and not counterfeit. Let us begin to worship Him. Verse 9 says, "And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ." Hallelujah. The righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, be made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either we already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Brethren, I counted not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Church, stand as I read this last portion of Scripture. He says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." He realized the things of this world was damageable. He threw those things to the wayside. Those things can be copied and be presented as counterfeit, presented as the goods. He said, "The one thing that I know is sure and steadfast is Christ." So what do I press towards the mark, that prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. "Let us therefore be as many as be perfect, be thus minded, as if anything be otherwise minded. God shall reveal even unto you let us set our sights off the things of this world. Let us beware. What is the duty of man? Pastor preached our duty. Amen. I want to just add this in here. Our duty is to see the counterfeit and grab the original. Our duty is to notice, "I'm slipping here. Let me get back to the real place." Church, I found my place. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of waiting. I'm saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, but that's not enough, Sister Kathy. It's got to be overflowing. If I go one day without finding Him, I begin to sell myself out to this world. Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look up. Let's find that place tonight. Church, come. I preach my heart to you. Amen. I pray that the Lord would help you to beware of the counterfeit things that this life has to offer. There are things in this life. There are things in this life, church, that sometimes we can't see. That's why we must have spiritual eyes. Amen. And realize when we're being more lovers of pleasure than lovers of God. Amen. Let us find ourselves digging in, reaching past the things of this world that are all counterfeit, and reaching into heaven, grabbing hold of the original author and letting him work fresh and new in our hearts and lives.
This might hurt. It's not so.